I thought a lot about this Sunday. And what kind of wonderful words could I offer after a decade with a group of people that I've considered to become my family in Christ? What can I say, really, with great wisdom and outstanding character? Nothing. So, no. I thought about it. And then Betty jumped in, and I didn't want to stop her because that was the whole sermon. It really was. You are the church, not the minister. The minister's kind of necessary for emergency occasions, for some administration, for doing some preaching, for doing some other stuff. But really, you are the church. And that was the whole idea behind anything and everything, not only that Christ taught, but also that those early disciples went out into the world and tried to encourage people to become the body of Christ, the church. So after a decade, what could I say? There is something to it. There is something to the idea that God calls a people to become a church and continue doing the ministry of Jesus Christ, no matter how difficult it seems, no matter how frustrating at times it becomes, no matter how perplexing some of the things around it seem to be. You are the body of Christ. And there are a lot of bodies around Bartow and Polk County doing the same thing. And I figure the same thing this morning. They're probably listening to sermons that they've heard before. Believe it or not, the scriptures can only go so far, and you're going to be hearing the same scripture and the same idea, and you don't remember it because sometimes your mind is thinking about what you're going to have for lunch. You're thinking about things you're going to be doing this week. You're thinking about anything but except that preacher who's up there yakking up away. And I thought, what can I say new after a decade of you listening to me? Well, I think the important factor was already said by Betty. You are the church. And you've got to continue for a purpose. And there are purposes all over the place. When I started here, nearly 11 years ago, it was 11 years ago, Presbytery told me they don't have much going for them. Why don't you see if you can close it and sell the property? Now, I have to tell you a lie that I told Presbytery, but then you have to remember, I didn't like the Presbytery executive at all. All right? I didn't like him since I knew him in New Jersey, so I'm not giving you any kind of confession. I said, well, you know, Jerry, that's a memorial church, and if it ceases to exist, it goes to the city for the rest of the... I told him. He believed me. So you're still here. He isn't. How about that? You are the church. And I hear it all the time. Well, your hair's getting whiter. It can't get any whiter than it already is. And you're the same way, aren't you? It's called aging. A majority of churches in the United States of America right now are old people. All right? Churches that I remember serving are just barely existing, and you're larger than many of them. One church that had nearly 1,000 members is barely existing with 110. Two churches together that had over 3,000 members have united, and they have 150 members. For heaven's sake, that's life. That's history. That's us. But look at McLeod. And I want you to think about some things, because Scripture is very specific about what you're supposed to be doing and what you're about. Open your Bibles to 1 Peter. I got the right scripture today. This is the right scripture after last week's debacle. I'm looking at the first chapter, verses 13 through 25, and you'll see it says very simply in your Bibles, be holy. Therefore, he writes in his letter, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you by your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. I hope. You know, even before I agreed to be a part-time stated supply pastor for McLeod, I was told it'd probably be a short term, maybe a year and a half, maybe two at most. And you were in your final stages of viable ministry. You were hardly breathing. That's what I was told. And you know, when I met with the session, and there were eight members of the congregation who came to that session meeting because of their concern for the future of McLeod Church. And so I determined in my own mind, and I told Barbara when I went home, I think I'm going to treat this like an interim ministry since it's short term. And that's the way I started. I agreed to treat you like you were, just sort of temporary folk on the temporary calendar of minister's life. That's how I started. 2 years max. And we headed into the future. This was the smallest church I'd ever pastored. Those several there are, and I told you earlier, are about your size in number or less, even if they exist at all. McLeod is now larger than the average congregation in the Presbyterian Church, USA. Give yourselves a hand. You're larger! How about that? The denomination shrunk. We've aged. Churches have changed generally all over the United States, not just within the Presbyterian family. And the changes I've seen are changes that I know probably had to occur. And I wonder at times, what do people really want? So we have to be aware now in the pastoral ministry. And you'll note one of the things that a pastor emeritus is an advisor to a church. Watch out. But we have to be sensitive to the millennials. We have to present them to the age, each category within an age group, to make sure that the church is doing what the church should be doing, and even though the church is not sure what it's doing. I don't know if we have a quick fix on it at all. I'm wondering if we have to, and I just read an article in Christian Century about the electronic church. And we can do the electronic church. We watched a movie on Hallmark, and it was about murder mysteries. And there was you can do a thing electronically where you can see somebody, but they're not really there. What do they call it? Yeah, hologram. That's in the Gospel of Hezekiah. 15:3. Anyway, the hologram was there and it looked so real. I thought, my gosh, what a marvelous thing. It went through my mind. Can you imagine the church of the future and they can't have a minister because they're too small and you have a hologram of something here preaching to you. And then all of a sudden it goes and it's done. And I thought, well, this is where the church is probably headed. Isn't that interesting? I thought that in my mind. One of my guiding scriptures really was this bit from Peter, and I've used this often in my own studies, in my own study life. Peter's writing some sound teaching to those early Christians that were really trying to figure it all out. Because how can we really overcome the power of Rome, the powers of a government and a power greater than we could ever imagine, so we can worship Jesus Christ? How can we overcome the traditions of Judaism so deeply ingrained in our life? The way it's always been, the way it always must be, the way it still is. And worship a Savior. So Peter's trying to get through to them. He's saying we can't always dream about the future, but we need to be strong in the present, always, always strong in the present. Because that's where you're going to exist. And I think we've been given really in this scripture some challenges. Peter tells these early Christians to strengthen their minds. You don't dare become flabby thinking with unexamined faith. We're expected to think things through and to question. Yes, indeed, to question. And to think things through, not just to accept the way they've always been. Because things can't always be the way they were. They can't. They can't. And the hardest lesson for a church to learn is this. How can I grow my faith? How can I change what I need to do to make my church stronger? What can I discard as useless? What can I take on that's stronger? What can I take on as a change? Someone gave me a poster when I first ordained, and I had it on the wall for a long time. I don't know what happened to it. And it was written in old ancient script, but we've always done it that way. how many churches have died because they've always done it that way. This is what Peter is telling them. You can't do it. You can't do it. Strengthen your mind. Be willing to take risk. Accept the reality. Accept the reality through some mistakes. And when it's done, you're going to have a faith really worth talking about and sharing. There's something else that I think this lesson from Peter tells us to be sober. Well, I like that. But in this case, be steady in your thinking. Don't be a jerk. He didn't say that. Doesn't translate well from the Greek. It's so easy to be carried away with things and stuff. And to become spiritually intoxicated. And I'll bet there are some here. I'll bet you know people who are spiritually intoxicated. We used to call them in seminary, and we'd joke, a Bible drunk. Some who have a theological box that they really can't even open in their mind, in their lives. And there are some who are so taken by any new theological craze, they go absolutely berserk because you don't agree with them. Peter wants the Christians to maintain a steadiness, a sober steadiness, so that you really know what you believe and you can defend it with a smile. With a smile. And he also urges us to hope and to live in hope because of the Christians. Christians needing hope are the best. Because the best is always yet to come. Betty said it. She did. I didn't want to interrupt her at all. You are the church. And the best is always yet to become the church. The body of Jesus Christ. Sure, we can live in gratitude for the past. Oh yeah, the past is nice. But you've got to look at the past as to what it can do for your tomorrow. And if it's not doing anything for your tomorrow, get rid of it. Get rid of it. For Jews, this was a hard lesson. You've got to keep the Passover. You've got to keep the kosher food. You've got to keep this rule and that rule and this rule and that rule and that law and this law. And pretty soon the laws become more important than life itself. And when this becomes your faith, you don't have any. You don't. But we've always done it that way, but we've always done it that way, and we'll keep on doing it that way, even if it doesn't do a darn thing for Jesus Christ or the church. These are tough lessons, my friends. They are very hard lessons to learn and to accept. However, you are made whole and holy through the love of God in Jesus Christ. That's the fact. Hard and tough are the lessons of faith. Indeed, I know that. Hard and tough. But McLeod, McLeod, you can show it can be done. You've done it. You're doing it. Not always the way it's been, but you're willing to take a chance on what it can be. I feel honored to have been with you these years. In my twilight years, You've brightened my horizon. May God bless you. Thank you, God, for making us your church, for giving us grace and truth and challenge, for upsetting our apple cart at times, and yet your Spirit and your love have a way of us righting our load and giving us wisdom. And so give us your blessing as you have always in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen.